He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is this Thursday, November 20, sugar high, caffeinated version of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And here we are after the day after NVIDIA's much-anticipated earnings report, and it seemed to be better than expected, Barry. I mean, not only the past 90 days, but the forward guidance. And as a result right now, we have the Dow up. Let me get to my charts here. The Dow is up 592 points right now. Which is a gain, 661, call it, 1.4%. The NASDAQ is up 2.1% with a gain of 482. The S&P is up 1.8%. We have the bond market pretty quiet, 4.12% on the Treasury, the 10-year, actually 4.11 now. Gold is down a little bit. Actually, it just turned positive. It's at 4,098. Crude oil is up a little bit. And Bitcoin, last time I looked, it was still down. Yes, it's down 1,000. I think there's still a risk-off mood in the market myself. We'll talk about that today. The Bitcoin is at 90,739. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. You know, Barry, the image that I have in my head right now is Atlas holding up the entire world, only Atlas is a guy in a leather jacket. In San Jose. Called Jensen Huang, that seems to be holding up the whole market on his shoulders yesterday. Why do I say that? You know, I've just watched, as a guy who looks at 800 to 1,000 charts a day, I see a lot of charts that not looking healthy at all, breaking down, right? Well, they're getting a shot in the arm today. They're getting a sugar high. But can one company, NVIDIA, hold up the entire tech sector, the NASDAQ, the Dow, the S&P 500, with their better-than-expected report yesterday after the close? And I also look at the reaction in a very risk-on or risk-off indicator for me, which is Bitcoin. And Bitcoin's still down $1,000 here today, which indicates to me that this sugar high is going to be short-lived. I'm not saying that we're in a bear market or we're headed for a bear market. I just think that we've probably seen the top, which isn't a very bold statement. We only have 6 weeks left in the year, for heaven's sakes. But I think we saw that top back there, when the Fed decided probably not going to be another rate cut in December. And we reached that forward PE of 23. And I don't think yesterday changes my view of that. I think we're going to have a good day. Maybe you'll see some wearing off. We're having a decent day in the market today. We've got several holdings that are up 2 to 3% today, including NVIDIA, Google, Taiwan Semiconductor, Constellation Energy, Marvell, Snowflake.
The AI play.
Yeah, the Cameco, the nuclear stocks, GE Vernova, Vistra, etc. So the AI play is back on today, but I don't think that it changes the it doesn't change the valuation peak
and the risk appetite.
Yeah. No, and the risk appetite just doesn't seem to be there. You're probably seeing some short covering today, but I don't expect this to be something that all of a sudden juices this market and propels it on to new highs before the end of the year. I just don't see that. I don't think it changes my opinion of the market at all, and I'm happy for NVIDIA. We still have a huge investment in it. It's one of the greatest stocks of all time, if not the greatest stock that I've seen during my career in the industry. I believe it is. Okay, so there's a lot of news. There are other companies reporting today besides NVIDIA. There is other news. But, you know, I just have to go back to yesterday, and I saw so many charts that were breaking down badly. Anything crypto-related still looks just horrible. The Coinbases, the strategy. Have you looked at strategies?
MicroStrategy.
Oh, yeah, my gosh. That's just the road to hell is what I call that chart.
Well, there's just been a lot of carnage there, and fast,
carnage.
Right? I mean, the big issue there was leverage. And so, you know, you've got a lot of people, whether, you know, it could be, you know, a bunch of smaller investors who have, you know, kind of had ledger leverage plays via ETFs and other ways that you can get that leverage exposure to Bitcoin nowadays. And obviously the you know, corrected, you know, we were sitting at 126 probably less than a month ago, 126,000 sitting at 90K at the moment. And, you know, some of that wealth is just gone, right? I mean, there's no buying action.
Nope.
It's different in the equity markets. The equity markets haven't fell as far.
Nope.
It's obviously stickier money. There's money that's been in there for a very long time versus Bitcoin. And, you know, it'll be just interesting to see it. And I, like you said, I'm just use it as a measure of risk appetite, you know, currently. And it's almost hard to envision, you know, until you get some kind of bottom in that risk appetite in Bitcoin. It's hard to see,
well,
like you said, that leg up.
It'll
higher than our all-time highs in the market.
To look at the second tier AI stocks today and see how they're holding up. And, you know, I'm talking about some of those ones down the chain a little bit. Yes, the big, and I still like the nuclear stocks have been doing really well here recently, Constellation and Vistra. And the other one, GE Vernova, have looked really, really good. But I think as we get down the line underneath into that second tier of AI, I don't know that we're going to see what we're seeing at the top of the AI chain here today. We're not going to get an October jobs report, and a lot of people think that that's a big negative as far as the Fed goes, because without that, it's going... Look, they're weighing two things right now, jobs on the one hand and inflation on the other hand. And without more jobs evidence of deterioration, we certainly haven't seen that in the you know, the initial jobless claims report. And I'm hearing that the private jobs, didn't that come out today at 118,000?
Well, yeah, it's a weird you know, dynamic. We got the September non-farm payroll. So remember, we got ADP September numbers. Today we got the September non-farm payroll.
But no October numbers.
Right, yeah, so no October numbers, and I don't know if we'll get those. I don't know how that catch-up will play. But we've got, you know, U.S. Payrolls increased 119K. Consensus was 50K. I'm not sure how you come up with a consensus, but there was one. The tricky thing is unemployment rate ticked up to 4.4%. So you kind of had, you know, you kind of had jobs come in better than expected, added more, but the unemployment rose, right, more kind of than expected from the 4.3. So it's kind of that, you know, quasi, you know, if it doesn't mean anything, it's, you know, the only thing is it's obviously you could make it a hot or a cold job report, depending on your angle.
But it's right. Not bad enough, I don't think, for the Fed to give us a quarter point rate cut in December for sure.
And here's the things in the bond market. Yesterday we were at a 70% chance of a cut in December. Now, literally sitting right this second, we're at 30% yesterday. Today we're at 43%. So we actually moved up for a chance to.
Okay.
I think it's at an unemployment rate ticking up.
I don't see it. I think he's got sour grapes towards the Trump. He knows he's on the way out, and there's no way the Grinch is going to steal Christmas. UBS lifts gold upside target to 4,900, maintains bullish view and long position. You know, UBS knows a thing or two about gold being headquartered in Switzerland.
Around the world, yeah.
And that seems to have been the most dependable. Well, the AI trade's been good to us this year, no question about that. But gold has just been steady. You take out that recent sell-off, it hit 4,400, and then it dipped under 4,000 for a while, but now it's climbing its way back up, and that seems to be the one trade that is more reliable than any other out there right now. We continue to see big, soggy pharmaceuticals going to other companies and buying them to put something in their pipeline. Pfizer would be an excellent example. They went out and bought Metsera to try to get in on the obesity drug, boom. And Abbott Labs, very questionable move, I think. They're spending $21 billion to acquire Exact Sciences, which, of course, has the alternative way of testing for colon cancer, which is not quite as obtrusive as the other one. But they're paying a big price for that company. And Abbott has been a very slow growth company in recent years. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Goldman Sachs initiates coverage of MP Materials. Boy, there are a lot of stories on MP this week with the billionaire, multi-billionaire in Australia taking a big stake, the Department of Defense or Energy, Department of Energy, I believe, giving them a big loan. And, of course, they have a stake, the government does. Apple has a stake. Goldman Sachs initiates coverage with a buy rating and a $77 target price. MP is currently at 61. MP does have earnings. They're going to make 79 cents per share next year. And they're pulling right now $250 million worth of sales out of that mine. Out there on the California-Nevada border at Mountain Pass. And I continue to say that it's the probably the best, by far, rare earth opportunity that we have here in America. There's a lot of other wannabes, but this one seems to at least. There's got to be other ones. We've just got to find them, Barry, and get them producing and get those get some refineries back online, which is happening in a few states across America. And MP definitely has been in the news a lot. That's the one that we own, along with another one that's not doing so good right now, but we're hoping for it in our emerging growth portfolio. MP we own in our emerging growth and in our ultra growth portfolio. So it's our biggest rare earth position, one of two positions that we have in that sector right now. We've also got, let's see here, of course, a lot of other companies reporting earnings today. It's funny how, you know, just when you thought earnings season was over, we have all of these companies, pretty important ones, reporting earnings today. Let's see, IBM, Cisco plan to design connected network of large-scale quantum computers. I've been watching the quantum stocks. I look at several of them every day, and they've been pretty much crumbling. They continue to crumble. They're out in those further tributaries that we talk about that are very speculative. And when the risk appetite comes down in the market, you know, that's the first place that starts to drain as the tide goes out. But, you know, I watched IBM and I've watched Cisco, which are two companies that kind of need to do what GE did, you know, a massive makeover and rebuild, whether they separate into a couple of companies or whatever. They're not, they just don't have any growth these days. But maybe Quantum will give them some new life there, Barry. I would think, too, that it would be hard for a Rigetti or a D-Wave Quantum to compete with IBM and Cisco. But, I mean, those are some formidable players. I mean, Cisco has needed to get away and diversify away from just telecom and maybe building a network of large scale. IBM knows a thing or two about large scale computers. But here's the rub. It's 5 years out, which is pretty much goes in line with what Jensen Huang has been saying. It's not going to happen tomorrow. Anyways, we'll keep our eye on those two stocks to see if they can come up with something there. And, you know, I'm seeing these quantum stocks, not quantum, crypto stocks continue to diversify. Some of the crypto Bitcoin miners are now, you know, juicing some of the data centers with energy, which is kind of a weird thing. But Coinbase is launching a Kalshi-powered prediction market. So you can gamble on a prediction marketplace with your crypto account, right? It just seems kind of weird. And Kalshi has had a major impact on the sports betting market. Have you ever looked at Kalshi? You look at Kalshi, don't you, Barry, to look at the odds of a rate cut and whatnot?
In terms of IBKR, I mean, they've pushed it. They obviously,
Robinhood
commercials on it all the time in terms of prediction markets, and you know that's what I use them, and I still use the futures market for some of those contracts in terms of CME in terms of the
right.
FedWatch percentages. But yeah, I mean, it's a bigger and bigger, bigger and bigger market. I keep seeing this commercial. In the background, and I'm kind of thinking for IBKR, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna try to open a little IBKR account and just see what the prediction markets are all about.
You know, yeah, put a few bucks,
right?
You know, put a few bucks on no Fed rate cut in December, and say, Bill was right again. But these crypto related stocks are just getting crushed. Coinbase, Circle. What's the other one? Bullish.
MicroStrategy.
There's another one too, BMNR. They're just getting crushed. And guess who keeps loading up? The lower they go, Cathie Wood's ARK investment loads up on Bullish, Bitmine, that was one I was trying to think of, and Circle. Those would be the three on my list of 1,000 stocks. They would be number 998, 999, and 1,000 that I'd be looking at in this particular market that we have right now. Now, maybe 3 months ago, you know, when we had a speculative wave just sweeping through the market that seemed unstoppable. No, every speculative wave eventually get its wings clipped. And I think that was one of the reasons why, you know, Jerome Powell, he saw that speculative wave in the market, which he saw in 2021, don't forget, and came along with four rate hikes of 75 basis points because he knew things were getting out of hand and were going to only exacerbate the inflation problem. And, of course, he saw the same thing that we see. When we see these speculative sectors just flying like there's no tomorrow, they can't buy them fast enough, you know, that spells trouble. And especially when the ratio of the general market gets up to 23 forward P.E. ratio, the Fed takes note of that because that is inflationary in nature, very inflationary. It puts more money into the system. And I think that was a big reason for him also stepping in and saying, probably not going to get a rate cut. So now you can gamble at Coinbase. Okay, was that the original intention? I thought it was a bank where you could store and make money off your digital currency.
Yeah.
But now they're going to open it up to betting on various events, sports, elections. I mean, all kinds of things.
It's what we call a new vertical.
How speculative can you get, right, is what I call it. It's horrible. Okay, when we come back, I got a lot to talk about. We haven't even got to NVIDIA yet. And, of course, Walmart also reporting earnings today, which is also a very important bellwether. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. I was just looking at these stocks just look horrible. The ARK Innovation ETF acquired 322,917 shares of Bullish, B-L-S-H. I could add a couple of other letters to that. Move that S and H around a little bit. And, oh, God.
That's a good one.
It bit mine. She bought 181,774 shares of BitMine. At least she's, you know what? She believes in her strategy.
She's convicted.
And she has total conviction. And I was just looking at her ARK fund. I remember when it had $45 billion in it. Now it has $8 billion in it. Where did the other $37 billion go? Up in smoke for the most part. Okay, she bought 150,000 shares of Circle Internet Group, CRCL. Oh, God, this stuff just makes me sick looking at this stuff. On Wednesday, Circle was down 9%, BitMine was down 9.5%, while Bullish dropped despite reporting every one of these stocks are hitting new lows. Which, you know, look, I've had a lot of people say, you know, you seem to buy stocks when they're breaking out. Well, you know, that shows there's something good going on. That pot is starting to bubble and boil. And something hitting new lows, you can say, well, we're going to scoop up more at this price. I've never found that to be a good strategy in my 26 years in the industry. You want to add to your good positions, not your horrible positions. That's just me.
I didn't do the math on this, but you know, I think she took her initial position, or at least bought some 2.5 million shares of BLSH. That's Bullish on around August 14th.
August 14th.
What was the stock at around August 14th?
Oh.
I was looking at the chart, and it can't be great.
No,
but I'll get there. Yeah,
I got it. BLSH in August was got as high as $75 a share.
After IPO, right, I think?
At IPO'd at 37, and now it's back to, it went up to 75, now it's back, it got to 120. On the day it went public, it went from 37 to 120, then down to 47, then back to 75, and now it's at 38. It hit a new low, all-time low, yesterday.
Bought another 160,000 shares on September 17th.
Okay, September 17th was when it was at 75.
Okay.
So now she's adding more at 35. You know, it lowers her cost basis is about the only thing you can say about that. And it's getting a little sugar high boost from all the AI activity. But look at Bitcoin itself. I mean, it's down even on a sugar high day in the market. Okay, we're going to go to NVIDIA now. And we're going to look at the Best Stocks Now app, which still has very favorable numbers on NVIDIA. It doesn't surprise me. I say, in fact, I'm going to give you our target price on NVIDIA here. It's hitting today. It's up 5%. You know, that's not really that big of a deal, really. I mean, it's good, but I don't know if it's going to last. It could fade here. We have a valuation on NVDA of $379 5 years from now, which is double from where it's at now. Okay, is it going to get to $10 trillion? Well, based on what we know now, okay, that's the consensus earnings estimates out there on the street, the consensus growth estimates out there on the street, and applying a pretty decent multiple to that. I'm using 18% growth. I don't know what the multiple is. I'd have to look it up. It's buried in the equation there. But it's the same equation I use on every other stock. And, you know, we still think it has upside potential from here. But it's gotten a little bit ahead of itself. And, okay, over the next 5 years, I would just say that the biggest risk in that five-year period of time is a competitor coming along. And I think the biggest threat comes from China, who's basically... saying no.
Either copying or trying to innovate from the chip that they have already, essentially.
I think
they're trying to at least re-engineer it.
I think the probability of them coming up with a chip that is at least almost as powerful, I think it's 100% that they're going to come up with something during the next 5 years.
At some point, right, yeah.
I would think even during the next 1 or 2 years, that's the biggest risk to NVIDIA, because right now, it's like Tesla. Tesla had a massive lead on everybody else in electric vehicles. Now China and Apple had a massive lead in iPhones, and who's come along? China with the Huawei phones has hit Apple's market share big time in the iPhone market. And
obviously Samsung, takes, basically,
and along came Samsung with the Android version. Okay, and the same thing is happening here with electric vehicles. Now you've got China. Where they got the technology, nobody knows. How much of it was counterfeited, how much of it was reverse engineered. But Tesla's market share has dropped dramatically in China, and the biggest market in the world, by the way, and has dropped dramatically in Europe because of Chinese competition. And that's what there's nobody that China would rather, take a chunk out of his hide is Jensen Huang, who's from Taiwan. And, of course, Lisa Su, his cousin at AMD. I just think it's almost inevitable that Alibaba or, Huawei, those are probably the two big ones that have are working day and night to come up with the chip. And they pretty much don't want NVIDIA's chip. They said, we don't need it. We're going to work around it and come up with our own chip. And, Jensen Huang is all for continuing to, but his market share in China has dropped to zero, which I think is also a big negative.
Yeah, well, in their model, I think it's, in terms of NVIDIA, in terms of an encouraging sign, one obviously is that, in their estimates, they're including a zero for sales to China. And, the other side of it, too, is, this most recent announcement via Saudi Arabia purchasing, big purchaser. And some chips. The next layer, we've had all, we've heard about all these, big hyperscalers, Microsoft, Google, Meta, making all these big purchases. The next layer is really, sovereign nations, right, building out their own, AI capabilities. And that's what Saudi Arabia is doing in terms
And what do competitors do? The price goes down. The margins go down. There's only so much market out there, and when somebody starts taking a piece of that market, they're going to come in at a lower price, and then Jensen Huang's going to have to lower his price, and down the spiral goes. NVIDIA's all-time high was $212. It's no longer a $5 trillion company. It's dropped to $4.7 trillion, only $4.7 trillion. It's still, even this sugar high is kind of being pecked away at right now. It's only up 3.8% right now as the battle goes on. It's getting harder and harder to move this aircraft carrier at $5 trillion and competition out there. There's no question about competition out there. It just isn't the stock that it once was, when it was produced.
in terms of hyperbolic growth. Yeah, no. Hyperbolic growth, you just can't do it. But the interesting, he did note, he was talking about their growth for the you know, for the year essentially was in terms of, you know, enterprise value or revenue, and it was, you know, I think 11, you know, I don't know, was it billions and billions of dollars? And he said we essentially grew an extra company out of the company this year.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Well, so. And you know, this day, the mood on Wall Street this morning was predictable. Oh, that's going to lift the entire AI sector and reignite it. And it still has the same valuation problem that it had yesterday before they reported. It still has the kind of negative risk-off sentiment that it's been fighting here. I think personally that today's a sugar high. It's already, in my book, starting to wear off. I haven't even looked at the underneath stocks yet. Give me a good example of an underneath Arista Networks. Yeah. But there's a couple of, okay, a good underneath the stock. What's the one that went public that we made so much money in and then it just took
CoreWeave.
Yeah, so let's,
and they're getting a bit of a bump today. Yeah,
they're all going to get a little bump today, but I think it's going to be very short. I'm not going back in with guns blazing into the AI sector. It still has to settle. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And all the usual analysts are gushing, you know, over this report. Dan Ives at Wedbush says this is the earnings report heard around the world. Well, you know what? I think the one a couple of years ago was when it was 200% better than the previous, or 300%. Now we're still at good numbers. I mean, 60% growth in sales year over year, 60% growth in earnings year over year. But I don't think that this changes the valuation issue whatsoever. The demand, I've always said, we don't have an earnings problem. We don't have a demand problem. We don't have a problem in the economy. The valuation is the issue. And the earnings report from NVIDIA last night did not change the valuation issue one iota. And I'm seeing a lot of these stocks, which I kind of expected, with this big boost this morning in a lot of individual stocks. Some of them are hanging on to their gains. The one that's the most impressive here to me is Broadcom, AVGO, and the nuclear stocks. But even NVIDIA itself now is only up 3.5% as they're selling into this bounce that you're seeing in the market today. And I would just say that if you still own some of the second-tier AI stocks, Astera Labs, Arista Networks, Palantir even. I mean, Palantir has a little anemic move here today. It still looks like a negative chart to me. I think this provides an opportunity for those that are overweighted in this sector and have been hit hard by it over the last month or so, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. The charts are getting a bounce today, but they still look very, very weak to me. And I don't think that the correction in this area is over yet. I think the valuations still have to come down. Okay, and I'm seeing it at NVIDIA itself. This is, now it's up just 3.2%. It was up 6% at one point in time here. You know, a lot of stocks still look very, very weak. Did you get the charts I sent over yesterday, Barry? Did you get a chance to look at those charts at all?
Oh, yeah.
Did they come through okay? I'm trying something new with our...
They did. Well, I got the PDF you sent. I don't know if I could see. I'll look at the other. I don't think I saw it.
I got to see if it works on MailChimp that I'm sending out.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I like your. I mean, the chart sheet. Of course, the
road to hell.
Talked about yesterday. The worst one is always the one that kind of gets me a chuckle out at.
Strategy would have been the worst. Boeing has a horrible chart. There's a risk off attitude in the market right now, going into the end of the year, and the biggest source. Two things. Our friend at the Fed, the lame duck, Jerome Powell, and I can't see with that jobs report, even if it's old and moldy from September's jobs report, I can't see them lowering that rate by a quarter of a point. And that means that people look at that multiple and they say, wow, without a quarter, we were factoring in a 0.25% rate cut. Without that, this multiple of 23x on forward earnings for the S&P 500 is just too high. We got to bring that down. And I think that is going to continue. I think the same mood that prevailed in the market yesterday before NVIDIA's report, despite the sugar high this morning, it's already starting to fade. I think that risk-off mood is going to last into the end of the year. And then I think people are going to start looking ahead to a new Fed chairman, even though it's still several months away. But I think the posture of the Fed's going to start to change, and we'll start to get fresh numbers on jobs and things like this. And we'll get into the next earnings season. We've had a good earnings season. There's no question about that. It's the multiple that is the problem, and yesterday's report did not change that. Now, Walmart, that's a good good bellwether for the economy.
They're an interesting company. I mean, underneath the surface, they're becoming more and more of a tech company, but and they're moving to the NASDAQ, actually. Did you see that?
Yeah, they're moving to the NASDAQ. They're the only company that's challenging Amazon, really, with online. Yeah. And, you know, Walmart's up 6.2% today. It has a valuation problem, too. It's got a 39 P.E. ratio. The one that needs to move to online, it is continuing to struggle, is Costco. Man, that's a weak chart on Costco. But Walmart, they're doing what they can with more less traffic in the stores, more delivery, more online, you know, trying to stave off Amazon. Amazon still hasn't, really gotten into the lower-end groceries, their Whole Foods market, which is higher-end.
And they got a 30. I mean, the difference is they got a 30 forward PE versus Amazon's got a 30 versus Walmart's you said
39. 39, well, the PE is 39 on Walmart. Walmart is probably going to be a trillion-dollar company here. It's $850 billion right now. How's Lilly doing? I'm predicting that Lilly will be the next. Oh man, look at Lilly! It's just right there on the cusp. It looks like Bill's prediction.
9.39 right now, yeah.
No, I see 9.95.
Oh, okay. Maybe I didn't have today's movement.
On Market Focus, which is live, you're just five. You're just within a shouting distance of getting over a trillion, and that will make news when it happens. And my article, which that wasn't the first one. We predicted the trillion back when it was $600 billion, and now it's $995 billion, just a hair away from a trillion, bigger than Walmart, believe it or not. And it will become the 11th trillion-dollar company when it crosses over that line, which could be today or tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe tomorrow. Okay, well, we're out of time. That's my take on it all. I don't think that all of a sudden has reversed the course of the kind of sell, taking money, risk-off attitude in the market right now until we get a clearer stance on the Fed of more rate cuts. That's what the market wants. That's the way it is. And until we see hopes of that, I think you're going to continue to see the multiple being compressed on the S&P 500, and the stocks with the highest multiples and the biggest profits are the most vulnerable right now. okay to get a four-week trial. I'm already starting on next week's newsletter, or Saturday's newsletter. Go to Gunderson Capital, sign up for a four-week trial to talk to us about money management. That's what I spend 90% of my time doing, is managing portfolios. Give us a call and set up an appointment. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.